And it is time to review a couple of books. The thriller, it's a psychological thriller rather than a, you know, whodunit or a police procedural or something like that. It's a book called The Secretary by Renee Knight, who is described on the cover as being the number one best-selling author of Disclaimer. And Disclaimer is not a book I have read. And for the first sort of 20 or 30 pages of this, I wasn't hooked. I was going, am I going to keep going with this? And it was really only the fact that I didn't have a thriller around that I obviously wanted to read that I thought, okay, well, let me just keep going with it. And I'm glad I did, because I became more and more engrossed as the story developed. And the secretary of the title is Christine, and she is, yeah, well, you might call her a PA, a very hardworking PA, and she's devoted to the woman she serves, who is at the head. Well, when the book starts, she's on the board of a retail company, and her father is the boss, and then her father moves off the scene, and she takes over. And Christine is absolutely devoted to her boss, and she sacrifices everything. She sacrifices her home life. Eventually her husband leaves her because he can't stand the fact that she has no time for him. Her daughter stays with her, but then she moves on to go and stay rather with the father because there's no time for the daughter in Christine's life. And there are other things that she sacrifices that are part of a plot reveal later on, so I won't spoil it for you now. And it's clear when the book starts that this loyalty to her boss puts Christine in trouble. And as the book develops, so you learn, because Christine is telling the story from the perspective of being able to look back over a long period of time during which the story unfolded. And you hear about betrayal, you hear about deeply unpleasant things, and the way that her loyalty was taken for granted and traduced. And then there is a dark and, for me, completely unexpected ending. So, I mean, it's written in a deceptively simple way. And it's only, as I say, 30, 40, 50 pages into the book that I started to realize the complexities which underlay all of these seemingly simple sentences. And at the end, I was very, very glad that I had decided to continue. It's called The Secretary, and it is by Renee Knight. And then one of these books, which has been, you know, one of the most anticipated books of 2020. It's a book called My Dark Vanessa. And it is a debut novel by Kate Elizabeth Russell. And in broad terms, the plot is that Vanessa is telling the story about what happened when she was 15. And when she was 15, she fell for an English teacher at a private boarding school. His name is Jacob. He's 42, big, broad, and so tall that his shoulders hunch as though his body wants to apologize for taking up so much space. And Jacob woos Vanessa through their shared fascination with Nabokov's novels, Lolita and others, Plath's poetry, and he keeps pushing the boundaries. He keeps pushing the boundaries further and further. The physical contact between them goes further and further and further. I can tell from the way you write, he says to her, that you are a dark romantic like me. He's grooming her. It's perfectly obvious to us as the reader that he is grooming her. But then 15 years later, at the height of the Me Too movement, another young woman from that school publicly accuses Jacob of sexual abuse. And then a journalist reaches out to Vanessa and says, I believe that you can corroborate the story of sexual abuse by Jacob. And it is at that point that, well, her life, it's quite clear that her life is in a mess, and it's quite clear to us, the reader, that the reason her life is in a mess is because of what Jacob did to her, the abuse he visited upon her. But she is not able to acknowledge that to herself. There's one line that stays with me. She says, I wasn't like raped. Really? There's raped and there's raped. There's no raped. She has this enormous difficulty. Of course she knows. Deep down, she knows that this was a deeply, deeply abusive relationship. But she can't admit that to herself. She still tries to take refuge in the notion that he found her truly special. Rubbish. He saw that she was a vulnerable target. And the way that her uncertainty, her nuance, the complexity of her memories of this relationship play out in this novel. It's really disturbing stuff. And there's been a lot of chat about this book because it's been published for a while now in the States. And people were saying, how can you write this book? And Kate Elizabeth Russell kind of felt forced into saying, hey, this happened to me. This is a fictionalized version of my story, so I have the right to tell the story. And it's one of those books that I think will have most people thinking deep into the night, long into the week, weeks after having read the book, still trying to work out where you stand in your response to the story that is being told and the way it is being told. It's called My Dark Vanessa by Kate Elizabeth Russell. And then, perhaps pertinent in the time of George Floyd, How to Argue with a Racist, History, Science, Race, and Reality by Adam Rutherford. And Rutherford is he's a geneticist. And, you know, every racist has in him or her the genes of the race that they despise and feel superior to. Every Nazi had Jewish ancestors. I mean, it's just one of the stark standout takeaways from this book. And what he's really doing is debunking through his knowledge of human genetics, the study of the similarities and differences between people and populations. He's debunking the pseudoscience, which increasingly is claiming that genetic variations between traditional racial groupings have a meaningful influence on behavior or innate abilities. I mean, to me, there is nothing to that, but these papers are still being published. And attempts to justify racism have long been rooted in science. And Rutherford understands that racism is a social phenomenon. But he argues that when science is warped, when science is misrepresented, when science is abused to justify hatred and prejudice, it must be challenged. So his focus is on what genetics says about things like skin color, ancestry, intelligence, sporting prowess, so-called racial purity and superiority. So-called racial differences are literally just skin deep. Genetics and human evolutionary history don't support the colloquial concepts of race. As a result, he argues, we're prone to say that race doesn't exist or race is just a social construct. But, and this I think is the important point in his book, race exists precisely because it is a social construct, and racism is real because people enact racism, as they do in this country, as they do in the United States, as they do everywhere. He says, I have been thinking about Jonathan Swift's dictum, reasoning will never make a man correct an ill opinion, which by reasoning he never acquired. And he believes firmly that if you rationally argue the science, you have a chance of changing the mind of a racist. I'm not sure he's right, but to read his attempt I found very edifying and very illuminating. How to Argue with a Racist by Adam Rutherford.